The Shulchan Aruch starts off Hilchas Yontif in the first of the Ma'amar Taimis, that all of the melachas that are forbidden on Shabbos apply to Yontif as well, except for the Heter Eichel Nefesh. So that's a big exception. So the Gemara points out on the first daf in Beitza that because of that exception, because of the Heter Eichel Nefesh, that's why people are mezalzel on Yontif. Many people do things on Yontif that are not really permissible. So we're going to go into the details today. So the Chumash only says that Eichel Nefesh is permissible. Eichel Nefesh means to prepare the food. What about Tzorach Hayom Tzas? What if a person needs a talis in shul? What if a person wants to bring his lulav to shul? He wants to bring a machzor to shul on Rosh Hashanah or on Sukkot in order to say the piyutim. Is that permissible as well? So the Mishnah has a machlokes b'shamen b'silo, whether Tzorach Hayom Tzas is mutar. We paskin like b'silo that any, there are 39 malachas, you have to judge in each and every individual malacha. Any malacha where it's possible to have a heter, let's say bishul, to cook food on Yom Tov would have been a heter Eichel Nefesh, so he permitted to cook water to wash your face, to wash pan of yad veraglo. Let's say to carry, if you want to have a picnic in the park on Yom Tov, if a person so desires, so he would be permitted to carry the food to the park, so we would permit him not only to carry food to the park, we would permit him to carry a machzor to shul, to carry a lulav to shul. Any, each malacha you have to judge individually. Any malacha that could sometimes be mutter l'tzorach ochal nefesh, but be mutter l'tzorach hayom tzas. That's what Tosis and Shabbos on Daf Tzadikim and Aleph has the famous kasha that all of the Acharedim discuss at length. Tosis Rekta Kasha, the Gemara says that making cheese, to take milk and make cheese out of it is a malacha. On Shabbos it's a malacha bona. Why it's a malacha bona is a little hard to understand, but that's what the Gemara says. It's a malacha deraisa. To make cheese on the gabin is a malacha bona. So making cheese on Yom Tov should have been mutter because it's Tzorach Eichel Nefesh. The Gemara says in the end of Shabbos, you're not allowed to make cheese on Yom Tov because you would have made the cheese on Erev Yom Tov, it would have tasted better. No, what kind of a reason is that? So Tosfos says that's only Midrabbanan. Tosfos thinks that Min HaTorah it's permissible to make cheese on Yom Tov, and the prohibition against making the cheese on Yom Tov because it would have tasted better if you would have made it, it's only Midrabbanan. Mishnah Berurah dug up a Tosfos and Megillah Dav Zayin, Legamrei Shelo B'Mkomo, but the Tosfos holds that the prohibition on making cheese on Yom Tov is an Issa Deraisa. But we assume, like the Tosfos and Shabbos, that the prohibition against making cheese on Yom Tov is only Midrabbanan, because it would have tasted dead if you would have made it on Erev. So Tosfos Frek Takasha, so the Malacha Bona is Mutter, Letzorach Ochal Nefesh, Menatar, you're allowed to make cheese on Yom Tov. So let's say a guy wants to, his house fell down on Yom Tov, so it should be Mutter to build his house on Yom Tov, to bang in the nails. He wants to make a Sukkah on Yom Tov. Why do you have to bother to make a Sukkah on Erev Yom Tov? Should be permissible to build the Sukkah on Yom Tov because Bona is Mutter L'Tzorach Ochal Nefesh and making cheese, so let it be Mutter L'Tzorach Hayom Tzas also. So Tosfos gives the interesting answer. I mean, Atar is talking Mutter to build the house on Yom Tov. It's only awesome at the Rabbanon because it's Uvda D'chol. It doesn't look nice. And the Acharedim are not happy with that answer. They can't believe that it should only be an Issa the Rabbanon to build the house and to build the Sukkah on Yom Tov. They give various terutzim on this kasha why it's not a kasha. This is the principle of mitoch. The expression that in one word we call this mitoch. Mitoch shuhut v'letzorach ochal nefesh. Each one of the 39 malachas you judge individually. Any malacha that's mutter, haitzah is mutter for ochal nefesh if you want to have a picnic in the park, and bishul is mutter letzorach ochal nefesh, and bain is mutter letzorach ochal nefesh. Any particular malacha that would be mutter letzorach ochal nefesh is mutter if, as long as it's letzorach hayom tzas, if he needed for today. What if I don't need it for today? A person just has he has junk in his pockets, and he walks with his suit to shul on Yom Tov with all the things in his pockets. He doesn't plan to use all the things in his pocket. Not mukta. He doesn't have to have mukta in his pockets. He has other things in his pockets that he's not going to use. He has his calendar that has mincha ma'ariv in it. He's not going to use the mincha ma'ariv. He has a bench roll to say brichas hamazon. He's not going to use all the things. So it says in Shulchan Aruch that that's prohibited. You're not permitted to carry things on Yom Tov that are shelo letzorach klal. This is a machlokes. Rashi and Tosfos whether this prohibition is deraisa derabbanan. To do a malach on Yom Tov shelo letzorach klal. So some are of the opinion that that's deraisa, and some say that that's only midrabbanan. That's a question. So this is the heter of mitoch. Then there's another heter that's known as machshirei eichel nefesh. Let's say I need a fork and a knife in order to eat my food. I'm not going to eat the chicken with my hands. The fork broke and the knife broke. It's not sharp. Am I permitted to sharpen? Let's say the fork is bent. Am I permitted to straighten out the fork? That's malacha mesaken mana. Am I permitted to fix the broken fork? Am I permitted to sharpen a knife, misakin mana, on yontif? So the Gemara says like this. If it was possible to fix it in bod yom and you just didn't bother to, you didn't have enough time. But if you would have organized your time better, you would have been able to do it on erev yontif. There's no hetter to do the machshira echal nefesh on yontif. But if it's a malacha she'ef shalasis mibon yom, if you couldn't have taken care of it before yontif, so then it's a machlekes hatanoim. That's called machshirei oichal nefesh. That's not the oichal nefesh itself. Oichal nefesh itself means to cook the food and to carry the food to the park to have the picnic. And here to fix the knife and to fix the fork is considered machshir oichal nefesh. That's a machlekes hatanoim. So if you look in the first line in the first of the Mar Mekaymes, so the Shulchan Aruch writes mechem machshir oichal nefesh shalo hayef shalasos ameyesmo. That we paskin that it's mutter to do it on yontif. If the knife broke on yontif, if the fork broke on yontif, so you couldn't have fixed the knife on the fork that didn't break yet. So then you're permitted to do the malach on yontif. How do you know that this is so? So the Gemara learns it out from the two phrases in the pasuk. The pasuk reads, "Acha sheyachal lochal nefesh, hu labado yiyosel lochem." So the Gemara says that the word lochem has the connotation of lochem lochol tzarchechem, all of your needs, not only as it says explicitly, "Ochal nefesh." Even lechol tzarchech and even machshir achal nefesh is also mutter. But that's on the one hand, the mashmois of the word lochem means lechol tzarchech and a broader heter. But then on the other hand, you have hu levado. Only levado means only, underlining the word only achal nefesh is mutter. So the Gemara says, isn't there a contradiction over here? On the one hand, it says lochem, lechol tzarchech, and all of the needs that are related to achal nefesh, even machshir achal nefesh, is also mutter to do malach on yontif. Then on the other hand, they say ochal nefesh ulevado, only ochal nefesh. Gemara says, kan beefshalasis mibod yom, kan beefshalasis mibod yom. If you could have fixed the broken knife and fork before yontif, then there's no heter. And if it broke on yontif, if it broke on yontif, then you're permitted to do it on yontif. Rashi, the Ramah in number one, is quoting a Rashi. V'yesh machmir. The Mishnah in the third parak in Beitzah starts with Ein Sodim Dogim B'Yontif. You're not allowed to go fishing on Yontif. So Rashi and Tosafos ask the question, why not? He wants to eat fish on Yontif. It's Ochal Nefesh. He's not fishing for Chol HaMoed. He's fishing on Yontif to eat the fresh fish on Yontif. Why isn't it mutter? Or those who remember Maseches Beitzah, the first daf of Maseches Beitzah, the Gemara quotes a Mishnah in Psachim that Peres Anoshim, a fellow has in his backyard, he has trees with fruits growing on the trees. So if he knows that some of the fruits fell off on Yontif, you're not permitted to eat those fruits. Why not? Exera Shema Yala B'Yitlosh. If we'll permit people to eat the fruits that fell off of the tree on Yontif, someone by mistake may think that he's allowed to rip off the fruits on Yontif and eat the fruit. Taka, why you're not allowed to rip off the fruits on Yontif? Kotzer. But Kotzer should be Mutter, the Tzorach HaChol Nefesh. The Gemara has a din Mashkin Shazavu, also on the first daf in Beitzah. Mashkin Shazavu. On Shabbos, you're not allowed to squeeze out the juice from the fruits. Not only are you not permitted to squeeze out the juice, even if the juice oozed out by itself, you're not permitted to drink that juice because of the gzeira Shema Yischot. He may enjoy the juice so much, he may take oranges and squeeze them out on purpose on Shabbos. So this gzeira of Mashkin Shazavu applies on Yontif as well. So you see, you're not permitted to squeeze out to make. Everybody knows on Shabbos you're not allowed to squeeze out oranges to make fresh orange juice. And people think on Yontif, Oichal Nefesh, and the Gemara says, not so. You're not allowed to squeeze out the orange juice on Yontif. Or you're not allowed to milk a cow on Yontif. Why not? You want to drink the milk. It's the Cheheter Oichal Nefesh. So you see from the Mishnayos and from the Gemaras all over the place that there are a lot of cases of Oichal Nefesh where we don't permit it. You don't permit milking the cow on Yontif. You don't permit the Seidmas on Shabbos. You don't permit pulling off the pears from the tree. You don't permit squeezing out the juice. You don't permit going fishing on Yontif. Why not? So the Ramah quotes Rashi's answer. The Ramah in the first of the Mar Mekaymes v'yesh machmirim, that's Rashi's opinion. Afila b'echal nefesh atzmo kol sheinu meifik tam klal. If you could have gone fishing on Erev Yontif, if you could have plucked off the fruits on Erev Yontif, if you could have squeezed out the orange juice on Erev Yontif, and would have tasted just as good, so then Rashi's opinion is that it's not permissible to do that malacha on Yontif. Tosis quotes the Rashi on Dav Gimel Amud Aleph and Beitz, and Tosis asks, how can that be? This distinction between Epshalasis and Bod Yom, as opposed to Epshalasis, that you're not permitted to do the Malacha on Yontif if you could have easily taken care of it on Erev Yontif, only appears in the Gemara in the context of Machshir Eichal Nefesh, to fix the broken fork and knife. But if you're talking about Oichel Nefesh Mamish, where does Rashi come off to make such a distinction? It should be permissible to do the Melechas Oichel Nefesh even if it was Epshel Asis Mabodyom. That's Tosis Kasha against Rashi. Tosis is not happy with Rashi's answer. But we pass Gala Locha like Rashi. So what do you do with Tosis Kasha? So many assume that Rashi's opinion is only Midirabbanim. But Rashi said that any, let's say, in my family, as you can see, I enjoy eating food. So I really can't tell the difference. You can't really tell the difference how much between freshly cooked flesh, vegetable soup or something, and flesh and soup that was cooked on Erev Yontem and reheated on Yontem. So since we can't really tell the difference, we're not such experts, we're not such feinschmeckers, that we should dafke insist that we want freshly cooked chicken and flesh on Yontif. So my wife cooks all the food before Yontif, and then we just reheat it on Yontif. We consider that a malacha shef shalas is mod yom. We have refrigeration, saying it's ain't a mefik klal, ain't a mefik tam klal. It tastes just as good. There are some people, I remember there used to be a fellow here in the neighborhood. He was such a makbid on having freshly baked challahs. He would bake his challahs on Rosh Hashanah. Pesach, of course, he wouldn't bake his challahs. He would bake his challahs on Sukkot, on Yontif Sukkot. We would come to his home, we used to eat by him on Sukkot, we had to wait an hour because he had to bake his freshly baked, had a shonk that it tastes, yeah, challahs, take freshly baked challahs, taste better than the challahs that are from yesterday that you just reheat a little bit. But most people are not such experts that they can tell the difference between freshly baked, freshly cooked food and not. So we assume that Rashi Shita is only with the Rabban. Some Rishonim understand that Rashi meant to say a Din D'Araisa, that this contradiction between the Psukim, Lochem, Lochol Tzarchechem, and Levado, Epshel Asin Bod Yom, you're not allowed to do it, doesn't only apply, the Rav Yor writes like that, that Rashi Shita is Min HaTorah, whatever Melechus HaChol Nefesh could have been taken care of before Yontif, you're not permitted to do on Yontif, so the Rav Yor assumes that Rashi meant to say Min HaTorah. But it's usually assumed that Rashi Shita is Midirabban. Whatever HaChol Nefesh could have been taken care of before, you're not permitted to do on Yontif. What about taking the talis to shul? What about taking the machzor to shul? You could have done it in the bod yom. So the Mishnah records this machlekes b'sham b'sil about carrying the lulav to shul and carrying the sefer Torah to shul, the sefer that you want to use to shul, the machzor. So the Mishnah quotes the Machlekes B'sham and B'sil, never gives the source for B'sil of Shita. We pass like B'sil, that it is permissible to carry things on Yontif that you need, even though it's not actual Ochal Nefesh. So what is the source in the Chumash for that idea of Mitoch Shuch with a Tzorach Ochal Nefesh, Hutronami, Shalot a Tzorach Ochal Nefesh, provided that it's Tzorach Yom Ktas? What's the Mokr? So they're different, Rishonim give different suggestions. The Gemara never gives a Mokr for B'sil. So the Shita Mukubet says, of all places in the beginning of Ksubis, beginning of Ksubis on Dav Hei Dav Av, there's a discussion, a brief discussion, a little bit of the Hilchos Shabbos doesn't belong in Ksubis, it belongs in Shabbos, it belongs in Maseches Beitzah. So of all places it's in Ksubis. Shita Mukubetzes quotes the statement of the Ravid. He thinks that Beis Hillel's opinion that Tzorach HaYom Ktzas is also mutter to carry machzor, mutter to carry a talis, is based on the word lochem, lochol tzarchechem. And he thinks that just like Machshir Eichel Nefesh is restricted only E'epshel Asas Mabod Yom, whenever you could have fixed the fork and the knife on Erev Yontif, then there's no heter to fix it on Yontif. So he thinks the same is true regarding taking the talis to shul and taking the machzor to shul. If you could have brought it to shul on Erev Yontif, so there's no heter at all to carry it to shul on Yontif. He holds that that's an Issa Deraisa, that the heter of Machshir Eichel Nefesh is based on this, the heter of Tzorach HaYom Ktzas, of Beis Hillel, Tzorach HaYom Ktzas, to carry the lulav to shul and the machzor to shul, the talis, on Yontif, that's based on the same pasuk lachem, and it has the same restriction of hu levado, only if it's e'ef shalasas mebod yom. So again, so Rashi's opinion is that the reason why you're not allowed to go fishing on Yontif, you're not allowed to pluck off the fruits from the tree on Yontif, and so on, not allowed to squeeze out the juices, is because any malacha that you could have done on Erev Yontif, and it would have tasted just as good, this ain't a mefik tam klal, it won't get ruined, especially today we have refrigeration, so you're not permitted to do that malacha on Yontif. The Ramban, in his commentary on the bottom of the Rif, in the beginning of the third Perek in Beitza, Perek Ein Sodin, gives a different explanation as to why it's not permissible to go fishing on Yontif. The Ramban thinks that Malechus Ochal Nefesh is only Mutar on Yontif if it's an activity that's normally done soon before one is about to eat the meal. So he gives an example. Years ago they had no refrigeration. So if a person is interested in eating chicken, so they're going to shech the chicken today on Yontif, and they're going to cook the chicken, they're going to salt it, they're going to cook the chicken today. But he says if a person is interested in eating fish on Yontif, he's not going to go fishing a normal day, forget about Yontif. He wants to have fish Sunday night, so he's not going to wait till Sunday afternoon to go fishing. Probably go fishing 2 days in advance. So whatever malach is normally not done, samach l'sude, let's say I want to make chalas. I want to make a cake or cookies or bread or something. So a person is, a balabasta is interested in making bread. So what you're going to do is you're going to go to the field and harvest the grain today. She wants to have for supper. She wants to bake cake or bread for tonight's supper. She's going to go to the field and harvest the grain and grind the grain and make flour. Which meshugana does? No, you harvest the grain a long time ago. You made flour. You have sacks of flour in the kitchen. You're going to do milisha v'yelech. That's what Tesis quotes on Dab Gimel Amanal. Tesis quotes the Talmud Yerushalmi. We only permit such malachas for the purpose of Echal Nefesh from kneading on, from the time you do the lisha. Why not the kotzer? Why not the tochein? So the Ramban says, because these are malachas that are normally done way in advance of preparation for the meal. When you're about to prepare for the meal, so you take the flour that's already sitting in the kitchen, and you do the lisha, you mix it with water, and then you do the baking and so on. But you don't do the kotzer and you don't do the tochein soon before preparing for the meal. So the Ramban thinks that that is the rule. He thinks that the normal people who want to have fish for Monday night, they're not going to go fishing on Monday afternoon. They go fishing probably Sunday, Friday, they go in advance. They're not going to go the last minute. And for the purpose of Echal Nefesh, we only permit malachas that are normally done, samach l'suda. According to that Ramban, it should come out that today, it should be anisa deraisa to shech the chicken on Yontif. Who shechs? Who of us? Unless a person is a sheikhet, a fellow's a sheikh also is not going to shech. His wife wants to cook chicken for supper, he's not going to shech the chicken today on Sunday. He's probably also going to take out from the freezer. Nobody today shechs as you're about to prepare for the meal. So according to the Ramban, it should be an isa deraisa to shech today on Yontem, because everybody has refrigeration and the whole system today is totally different from the way it used to be bizman ha-Gemara. Years ago, the Shah Gasari lived in the 1700s, contemporary of the Vilna Goyen. See, he has an essay in his Sefer, Shagasar, he discusses, is it permissible to shecht on Yontif today because we have so many chumras in Hilchas Treifas? Medina de Gemara, we know what the Treifas are, but over the centuries we have added on so many chumras, so it may come out that half of the time when you shecht a behemoth, it'll turn out to be a treifa, because if you add up all the chumras. So maybe it's not permissible to shecht on Yontif because it's a 50-50 possibility that you won't be allowed to eat it. So that's a pilpul that the Shah Gasari discusses. But bizman hazeh, that we have refrigeration, nobody shechts as you're about to prepare for the meal. The shechting is always done, even by the shechet. The shechting is done way in advance. And his wife takes out the chicken or the flesh from the freezer. She doesn't start to do the shechita on the day that she's interested in cooking the meal. So today, according to the Ramban, this would constitute an isa derais. What if a person, let's say, carried his machzor to shul? Shaila, why did he carry machzor to shul on Yontif? He should have carried it in the boat. Yep. Why was it so impossible to carry? It's really not right to carry the machzor on Yontif unless you're going to daven in two different shuls. It's Leil Yontif, he daven in this shul. Yontif in the morning, he's going to walk all the way to Riverdale, he's going to daven in the other shul. Okay. So he didn't have it. He didn't have enough time to drive there to leave his talus on the bed. Okay. So he carries his talus. So does he have a hetter to carry the talus back home? He's not going to use the talus. What, he's going to sit in the talus and eat his meal on Shabbos on Yontav afternoon? He doesn't need the talus this afternoon. So is there any hetter to carry the talus back home? So the Mishnah Berurah has this discussion in number 3 of the Maamar Kaimus. And he quotes the Rishonim who say, based on the discussion in the Gemara in the first Perek in Beitzah, there's a concept that's called Hitiru Seifa Mishum Tchilos. And we want to encourage the fellow that he should carry, we want him to wear his talus in davening. If you're going to tell him he's not allowed to take the talus back, so he may be afraid to bring the talus in the first place. So he'll go to shul without a talus, and he'll rely on someone else. He's going to wear the silk talus that they have in the shul. He's not going to wear his normal Yontav Digit talus. He has a Yontav Digit talus, he has a weekday talus. So if you tell him he's not allowed to carry the talus back, so he will be concerned, he won't want to bring the talus in the first place. So we even permit him to carry the talus back home in a Rishus HaRabim D'Araisa, because he tears so from Mishum Tchilosam, in order to encourage him in the first place that he should bring the talus. The Gemara has different cases like that, that we permit people to do things at the end, even though the Tzarach Yontif is already taken care of, because if we wouldn't give him a heter in the end, then he wouldn't want to do in the first place what we want him to do. So to encourage him, we have to give him a heter in the end. The din is that on Yontif, Oichal Nefesh is only mutter. It says, Hula bado ye yoseh lochem. The word lochem means lochem velo la'akum. We're not permitted to cook food for a nochri. We're not permitted even to carry the food into the street. Let's say there's a nochri in the street and he wants some food. So you have to tell him, come into the house on Yontif and give him the food, let him take it out. You're not permitted to carry the food out into the street for the nochri. We darshan lachem velo lo la'akum, lachem velo l'klovim. One is not permitted to do a malach on Yontif on behalf of the behemoth. People that have farms have to figure out how to take care of the behemoth on Shabbos. However they take care on Shabbos, that's how they have to take care on Yontif. They're not permitted to do any malachas on behalf of the behemoth. Not only is it forbidden to do a malacha for a non-Jew on Yontif, the Gemara has Gzeira de Rabbanon. We're not permitted to invite a non-Jew to eat by us on Yontif. Gzeira shem yarbe bishvilo. Even though all the food is cooked already, there's a Gzeira de Rabbanon, the Nochri, the non-Jewish guest who's visiting. Let's say there's a non-Jew who's preparing to convert. They've already been studying and practicing Judaism for many months, and they want to come to eat by me on Yontif. They want to see what Yontif is like. So to have the guest over on Shabbos is permissible, to have a non-Jewish guest. Because on Shabbos, we're not going to do malachas for anybody. We're not going to do malachas for the Jewish members of the family. We're not going to do malachas for the non-Jewish guests. But on Yontif, because we know we're permitted to do malachas for the Jewish guests, so we may forget to do a malacha for the non-Jews. So the rabbis made Gzeira de Rabbanon. That's a number 4 of the Marma Kaimas on the first line. Also l'hazmino. You're not permitted to invite a non-Jew to eat by you. Shema yarbe bishvilo. He may by mistake cook some extra food. The nochri may ask for an extra bowl of soup, or ask for a cup of tea, and I'll forget that we're not permitted to do malach on Yontif for the nochri, so I may put up the kettle specially for the nochri. Sometimes this causes great difficulties. You have a non-Jew that you have to invite. You have a non-Jew who's preparing to convert, so what do you do? So there used to be a Dayan Grosnas, label Grosnas, in London, Bezen, who passed away already. So he has in his chuvis the following. He says, let's say you have a Jewish hotel. They check to say that they have a few hundred guests. So they check to see everybody is Jewish. Some of the guests who come for Pesach are not Jewish. Some of them were improperly converted, or some of them are mamish, outright non-Jews. So how do you run a hotel? So the answer is, all the cooking in the kitchen is really done by non-Jews. How can the cooking be done by non-Jews? It should be bishul akum. So the rabbanim have heterim, how to get around the bishul akum. But basically, all the cooking is done in the kitchen by non-Jews, the non-Jewish help. So that's what Dayan Grosnas suggests, a heter. If you have, let's say, in a hotel, if one of the guests will ask for an extra bowl of soup or an extra cup of coffee or something, so all of the bishul, the malachas, will be done in the kitchen by the non-Jew. So that's not a problem. The only time there's a gzera is if the kitchen is run by Jews, then you have the gzera shem yarbe bishvilo. So let's say if in my private home, I feel compelled to invite a non-Jew. And Eretz Yisrael was always a problem. The chief rabbi always had to invite whatever the American ambassador, let's say, was not Jewish. So how can he invite that? The British ambassador, whatever, the British high commissioner. So how can he invite a goy to Yontif? It's a din that it's not permissible. So if you have the kitchen of the rabbi's home is run by non-Jews, and any cooking that will be done by the non-Jews, so then this gzera doesn't apply. We have a principle that, a difficult din, that sometimes a Jewish person who's so far away from Yiddishkeit that he doesn't observe anything, so we have a rule that mumer is dino kenochri. We treat a Jew sometimes as if he were a non-Jew. What's haistam mumer? So either a mumer l'avodah zarah, a Jew who worships avodah zarah, that's an extreme case, or a down-to-earth case, a Jew who violates the majority of the mitzvah sater that he's aware of. He doesn't know so many mitzvahs. Shabbos he heard of, kashrus he heard of, taras hamshpacha maybe he never heard of, whatever. Let's say he heard of 10 mitzvahs, and he violates 6 out of the 10. He heard of the mitzvah to march in the Israeli parade and to donate money to the Federation. So those mitzvahs he does. And Shabbos and Kashrus and the others he heard of and he violates. If one violates Roiv Dina Hatar that he's aware of, So that's a mumadina kakum. The chiddush is one who keeps all the 612 mitzvahs, but he worships Avodah Zarah. That's a chiddush. That mumal ledavar echad is also dina kakum. But a mumal lerav dina atar, that's the normal din. That's the basic din. That ruba kakula. So unfortunately, we have such Jews, people who violate Rav Din HaTorah that they're aware of. If a person does know, whatever he does know is b'shogeg. But let's say the Rav Din HaTorah that he is aware of, if he violates, so that would be a Muma Dina Ka'akum. So the Magen Avraham, standard commentary on the side of Shulchan Aruch, quotes a dispute from the Achronim from the 1500s. Would you apply that rule over here? Let's say we're not permitted to invite to the Seder, we're not permitted to invite on Yontif a Jew who violates all the Dinim. Everybody does that. Everybody invites. We want to be mekarv them a little bit. At least they should marry Jewish. At least they should, their children should marry Jewish. We want to preserve some Yiddishkeit by them. So the Magen Avraham quotes a machlokes about this, whether one who is a Jewish person, but he's so far away, he doesn't keep anything, b'mezid, very often it'll be b'shegeg. But if he does it b'mezid, so should we treat him as dina kinochri with respect to this din? That you're not allowed to cook for him or not. So the Mishnah Berurah, a little bit over here is covering up. The Mishnah Berurah always gives you a din, and then it gives you in the footnotes what the source is in the Sharatzim. So when he quotes this din, he paskins lechumre, Chavetz Chaim paskins lechumre, that you're not permitted to invite an irreligious Jew to your home on Yontif, on Shabbos is muta, but on Yontif you're not allowed to. And he writes in the footnote, poshit. Whenever it's so obvious that he doesn't have to give a mark, he writes poshit. It's not poshit at all. It's two opinions in the Magen Avraham, and the Minig is not so. So I remember we used to have here years ago, there was a big dayan from the Rabbanut, Rabbi Lezer Shapiro. He was a nephew of Rabbi Avram Shapiro, who just passed away. So he was here for 1 year to head the Yodin Yodin program. He's a very colorful person, those who remember him. So he used to speak to us in learning all the time, halacha lemaisa, psak halacha. So he said he doesn't think we paskin like this Mishnah Berurah, because everybody in America, in Eretz Yisrael, everybody invites non-religious Jews to their Seder. Put to their home on Yom Tov. The Mishnah quotes the dispute between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Is it permissible to heat water, to cook water on Yom Tov Bishul? The prohibition of Bishul applies on Shabbos and on Yom Tov, not only to food items. The Gemara talks about cooking, heating tar till it melts, or heating pegs of wood to have them dry out. So it's not a food item at all, and still there is a prohibition of bishul. I remember years ago there used to be a balabos in the Bronx who thought that he had hallucinations of greatness. He used to publish svarim on halacha topics. So I remember one of them, when I was a little boy, my father used to get in the mail. Every couple has got another sefer, another sefer, another sefer. So I remember he writes in one of his svarim, he doesn't understand what are the rabbis pilfering so much about making tea on Shabbos. What are you talking about? Cooking the tea bag? Nobody eats the tea bags. So there's no bishul on tea bags. It's not food. You're not cooking the water. The water was cooked already. So this is beferish against the Gemara. The Gemara talks about cooking non-food items. There are rules and regulations cooking food or cooking beverages. What's the shear of bishul? And then the Gemara talks about cooking non-food items. Sometimes there's a prohibition of cooking non-food items as well. So there is an issue of cooking water, not for the purpose of drinking the water. I want to heat the water in order to take a bath or a shower. Is that permissible or not? So Beis Shammai say it's not permissible. It's not oichal nefesh, so it's not permissible. Beis Hillel say that it is permissible. Why did Beis Hillel say it's permissible? So there's a gigantic Rashba, very, very long Rashba, gives two interpretations why is it mutter. Is it because Beis Hillel say tzarach hayom tzas is mutter? Not only is it mutter to do a malach on Yom Tov for the purpose of Echol Nefesh, if you're allowed to carry a machzor to shul, you're allowed to carry a talis to shul, whatever it's Tzarach HaYom. The other fellow wants to wash his face, pan of Yodav Raglav, so it's muta because of mitoch, Tzarach HaYom Ktzas. Oh no! He quotes the Rambam in the Pirish HaMishnayis, and the Mishnah Torah says, the Rambam writes that heating the water to bathe the body, to wash pan of Yodav, according to Beis Hillel, is called Echol Nefesh Mamsh, called Tzarach HaGuf. All things that are helpful for the body are considered Eichel Nefesh Mamish. You don't even have to come on to Beis Hillel's other Shita of Tzarach HaYom Ktzas. Whatever it is, Beis Hillel says it's permissible, and that's halacha. One is permitted to turn on the hot water on Yom Tov for the purpose of washing Panei Yad V'Ragla. But from the Mishnah it would appear that that's all. To heat water to take a full bath or a full shower sounds like it's not permissible. Why not? If he wants to take a shower, why shouldn't it be mutter? It's also either Tzarach HaYom Ktzas or Eichel Nefesh. Whatever Tzarach HaGuf should be Eichel Nefesh. So Tosfos on the Mishnah poses the question. That's a number five of the Marmar Kaimis. This Mishnah about heating the water for the purpose of washing Kana Yadam Raglav appears in Beit Zadav Chofala from the base. So Tosfos asks the question towards the end of the Tosfos. The Dafke Le Raglav, only to heat up water for the purpose of washing Kana Yadam Raglav parts of the body. Aval Chol Gufo, Mode Beisil would admit to Beis Shammai that it's Asur. Why is it Asur? So Tosfos has a comment that just doesn't fit in Bizman Hazeh. The Gemara has a din of Einais and Mugmar B'Shabbos. That's in the Mar Mekaymis, that's number 7. In the days of the Talmud, there was a common practice. They used to take Bisamim, incense, and after the benching, on the weekdays, people apparently had all the time in the world to sit and eat a meal, and I don't know, I don't have so much time. So after the benching, they would have coals, burning hot coals, and they would put incense on the coals, and they would sit and smell, inhale the incense. Sure. So the Gemara says that one is not permitted to do this on Yontif. Even though Havar is Mutar L'Tzarach HaYom Ktzas, Mugmer, Ein Oise Mugmer B'Yontif, because the Pasuk says, Acha Shiyach L'Chol Nefesh Hu L'Vado Yosel Lachem. So from the phrase L'Chol Nefesh, it has the connotation of Dova Hashav L'Chol Nefesh, something that everyone would enjoy, as opposed to Mugmer, that the smelling the incense, that's only for some people and not for other people. So the Gemara says, and what about eating duck? Or what about eating deer? Some expensive thing, only the millionaires eat that. The normal people don't eat these kind of machon. Gemara says, no, food is food. Some people have less expensive food, some people have more expensive food, but food is food, that's called Dov HaShav L'Chol Nefesh. But burning Mugmer, that's called Dov HaShen HaShav L'Chol Nefesh. What does it mean? So Tosfos says the definition is it Librius? Is it something that you do because it's healthy? Or is it something that's only L'Tainik B'Alma? Eating food, that's people have to eat food in order to stay alive, in order to remain healthy. But smelling the Mugmer, that's only L'Tainik B'Alma. That's what Tosfos says. It doesn't really matter how many people, what percentage of the population enjoy smelling the Mugmer. Even if everybody, even if 95% of the population would enjoy smelling the Mugmer, it's still called Dovah She'ena Shav L'Chol Nefesh, because it's only L'Tainik B'Alma, it's not L'Brius. The Pnei Yeshua was the rabbi in Frankfurt during the 1700s. He discusses smoking on Yontif. So in the days of the Pnei Yeshua, hardly anybody smoked, but they worked under the assumption that smoking is very healthy to aid digesting the food. Maybe they smoked some other kind of cigarettes. They must have smoked something else. So during the days of the Pnei Yeshua, so the Pnei Yeshua writes that even though the majority of the population do not smoke, but since we all, those who do smoke, do so because it's Librius, it's not L'Tainik B'Alma, so that's why it's mutter to smoke on Yontif. Today, we would say just the reverse. Even if everybody smokes, Baruch Hashem, most people don't smoke, I think, but even if everyone would smoke, since the Surgeon General has ascertained that it's detrimental to your health, so it's only L'Tainik B'Alma, it's not Librius at all, so there shouldn't be any heter to smoke at all. I remember many years ago, I used to give a weekly shir on Shabbos afternoon in Broya Shul over here, in the afternoon, Shabbos afternoon. So I remember one year we were learning Beitza. We always learned whatever the yeshiva, whatever Broy's yeshiva was learning. So that's what I used to give a shir on. So one year we were learning Beitza. So we were learning this Gemara about not burning the Mugmer. So someone asked the question, what about smoking cigars on Yontif? So I said, well, based on this Gemara, it's not allowed. So everybody's smiling. I don't know what they were smiling about. So after this year, they told me that on Yontif, they have the practice of visiting the Rabbonim. So those who would visit Rabbi Breuer, Rabbi Breuer would always distribute cigars. He himself would smoke a cigar, and he would distribute cigars on Yontif. And they go and they asked me, what's the din? I said, you're not allowed to smoke. And here's the Mishnah Berurah, number 7. He talks about smoking on Yontif, the different opinions. He has a long quotation from the Bir Halacha, very long. Whatever it was in the days of the Mishnah Berurah was written over 100 years ago. Whatever it was then is one story, but today it's clearly detrimental to your health, at least the Surgeon General in the United States. The American cigarettes are detrimental. Maybe Polish cigarettes are healthy, but the American cigarettes are unhealthy. So for sure there's no head to the smoke on Yontif. It's a malocha derais. Even then, the Nesivis wrote it Savoy for his children and his grandchildren. So he writes in his Savoy, he wants them to be religious and they should learn up his 15 prakim on Mishnayis every day, even if they go to business. So he writes some unbelievable tzavor there, what he wants all of his children to do. And then he says, I prohibit all of my children from smoking on the first day Yontav. The second day Yontav, they'll ask their local Orthodox rabbi. First day Yontav is in Malacha Deraisa, they should listen to me on my tzavor. He says he shouldn't smoke. So the Tosfos, getting back to number 5, Tosfos is discussing showering on Yontav. Why does the Silul only permit you to heat up water on Yontav to bathe upon of Yodav or Aglov? What about to take a bath and to take a shower? So Tosfos says, that's not Lebrius, that's only Letainet B'Alma. Normal people take a bath and a shower. Who takes a bath and a shower? Normal person, for health purposes, you just wash upon of Yodav or Aglov. Mufunokim, take a shower. That's the way it was years ago, until they invented the cotton gin. If I'm not mistaken, that's what it says in the history books. After Whitney invented the cotton gin, they started manufacturing cotton underwear, so then people started to bathe much more often, and people were healthier. In the days of George Washington, and so on, they didn't bathe. Once a year, maybe they bathed. And when their body smelled awful, they would pour more perfume on. They would just throw more perfume. They didn't bathe so often. So Tosfos writes that to take a hot bath, a hot shower, that's only for Mufunokim. L'chol Gufa, that's the last line in number 5 in the Tosfos, that Tosfos considers that Dov Shein Shav L'chol Nefesh, that's not L'briyas HaGuf, so that's why there's no Heter. That's like burning Mugmer. You're not allowed to burn Mugmer, you're not allowed to smoke on Yontav. That's not L'briyas, that's L'tainik B'Alma. So Tosfos says one is not allowed to take a hot bath or a hot shower for Kol Gufa. That's only Ein Aroy Ela L'bnei Adam Me'unogin, only for Mufunokim. Upon of Yodav Araglav, that's called Dov HaShav L'chol Nefesh. That's what Tosfos writes. Ramban lived in a different country. The Balei Tos lived in either France or Germany. Ramban lived in Spain. He lived in Barcelona. And he says he doesn't agree with Tosfos. He doesn't think that it was true even in the days of the Tanaim. He thinks not only in his time, he thinks even in the days of the Tanaim. Whoever can afford it would take a hot bath, a hot shower, kol haguf, and it is healthy. Why does Tosfos say that it's only L'tainik D'Alma? So the Ramban thinks that the reason why it's prohibited, it would appear from the Gemara, you're not permitted to take a hot shower on Yontav. He thinks that that's part of the Gzeres HaBalonim. A balon, Beis Lamed Nun, means a bathhouse attendant. So intelligent people would not be bathhouse attendants. Some person, uneducated, he can't make a living, so he would be a balon. So the balonim were not known to be such tzaddikim. So in the days of the Tanaim, they saw there was a common practice. People didn't have a bath and a shower in their own apartment. They had to go to the local bathhouse to take a shower. So they would go Shabbos afternoon. So the bathhouse attendants would heat up the water on Shabbos. They would violate an Issa Malacha. So the Balabatim came and they said, are you talking? You heated up the water on Shabbos? So they would lie. And they say, no, we heated up. It was hot for Erev Shabbos. How can you keep it hot? So they gave a whole teretz. They had a roof and it is and a gansa mice and it was baba mice. It wasn't true. They heated up the water on Shabbos. So the Chachamim prohibited taking a hot bath on Shabbos because the fella may be telling a lie. And even if you're telling the truth, and even if you have your own bath, you have your own bathtub in your own apartment, and you know that you filled up the bathtub with burning hot water before Shabbos because you want to take a bath on Friday night when the water will cool down and be warm, you're not allowed to take a bath in warm water, in hot water on Shabbos because of the Gzeres HaBalon, because the bathhouse attendants were Balei Avera and you can't trust them. So the Ramban says, based on a passage in the Gemara, he thinks that even the Gzeres that were instituted on Shabbos that don't really make sense on Yontav. On Yontav, you're allowed to cook water for bathing purposes. That's Tzarech HaYom Ktasa. It's either Reich HaNefesh or Tzarech HaYom Ktasa. Hanoas HaGuf, the Rambam says, is Reich HaNefesh Mamish, or it's Tzarech HaYom Ktasa. To heat up water should be had to go around Yontav to take a bath. So the Ramban says, no, that's carried over from Shabbos to Yontav, Gzeres HaBalonim. And even though the reason for the gzera doesn't make any sense on Yontav, it should be mutter to make the hot water on Yontav. He says, doesn't matter. The Gemara says that, Gemara doesn't say benegir to hot water. The Gemara says benegir to other gzera. So the Ramban says the same is true benegir to the hot water. That we carry over the gzera from Shabbos to Yontav. So halacha lemaisa, it's an issue. If you have, let's say, 2 days Yontav, sometimes you have 3 days in a row, 2 days Yontav and Shabbos. So you tell a person not to take a bath for 3 days in a row, it's very uncomfortable. Years ago it wasn't a problem. They wouldn't take a bath for a year or two. But today it's a problem. So the Mishnah has in Masechet Shabbos, in the third parak, there's a Machlekes HaTanaim, how far did they go with the Gzeres HaBalon? So there's one opinion which is not the accepted opinion. One opinion in Tanoim, Reb Shimon Bar Yochai was of the opinion that the Gzeres HaBalonim even applies to take a cold shower. You're not permitted to take a cold shower on Shabbos either, because they were so opposed to using the bathhouse, they even asked cold showers. So we don't paskin like that. We paskin cold showers mutter. So the Magen Avraham in Hilcha Shabbos quotes from the Mordechai that the Balei Atosis had a minhag, not a din, to be machmir on Shabbos and Yontem, not even to take a cold shower. To be choshish for that opinion of the Tanna, that you're not even allowed to take a cold shower. So already over 100 years ago in Europe, when it became more common that people bathe more often, people would perspire and they get all sticky, greasy, and we take showers much more often. So the Gedolim in Europe said that Bizman HaZebi no longer observe that minhag. It's just not so. It's not shayach. It's going to be so annoying. So we are makel to take a cold shower on Shabbos or Yontov. You have to be careful not to squeeze out your hair and so on and so on. You have to be careful not to do any malachas. But just a cold shower per se, that would be permissible. So on Yontov, if a person can survive taking a cold shower, so to take a cold shower would be okay. What if a person just does not enjoy cold showers? So then the question is, the Gzeres HaBalonim, strictly speaking, was only made Rechitza Bechamin, if the water is hot. How hot does the water have to be that it should have the status of Chamin, hot water? So Rabbi Akiva Eger has a tshuva where he quotes a Machloikes Achroinim. Rabbi Akiva Eger lived in the early 1800s. He was the father-in-law of the Chasam Sofer. He was the same age as a Sam Sofer was. Sam Sofer's second wife was the daughter of Rabbi Akiva Eger. Sam Sofer was 1 year younger than his father-in-law, and he died the year after his father-in-law. They lived to the same age. He was 1 year younger, and then she died, and he married a third wife after she died. Had three wives, one after the other. So the Rabbi Akiva Eger quotes in his tshuva a machlekes achrayim. What if the water is only lukewarm? It's not really Yad Soled. So some poskim hold that it's only also to take a hot shower on Shabbos and Yontif if it's Yad Soled. If it's only lukewarm, is okay. And others are machma even lukewarm. So the Mishnah Berurah says, okay, let's even be machma, lukewarm is also. But if you only turn on the hot water on Yontif, on Shabbos turn on the hot water, sometimes you're in violation of a malacha bishul, because you cause new cold water to get cooked, okay? But on Yontif, when you're permitted to do bishul, to wash panel yad of raglov, so how can you get around the Gzeres HaBalon? So the concern that Tosis has that to take a hot shower is Dov Hashem Shavu Chol Nefesh Bayas is just not so. Like the Ramban says, Bayas for sure it's Dov Hashem Chol Nefesh. The concern of the Ramban that you have Gzeres HaBalonim only applies if you're doing Rechitza Bechamin. We already mat Rechitza Betzainen, we no longer have that meaning that the Magen Avraham quoted from the days of the Balei Tosis. And the Mishnah Berurah says that Rechitza Bechamin is only Osir if it's either Yad Soledes. People can take a shower in Yad Soledes water. You can't take a shower in Yad Nichvis. Yad Nichvis means scalding water. Your skin will get burned. But Yad Soledes, I always take a shower in Yad Soledes water. Yad Soledes means if you're not prepared, if you didn't realize that it's hot, your instinctive reaction will be to jump away. But then once you know that it's hot, so you can take a shower. You can take a bath in Yad Soledes water also. Yad Soledes is, we're machmer anything above 120, 130, that's called Yad Soledes. Not so hot. Not so scalding hot. So if it's some are even machmer if it's poshrim, but the Mishnah Berurah quotes from the Beis Meir, if you only turn on the hot water to take out the chill from the cold water and it's not even lukewarm, so that for sure is heter gomer. So that's important to know, that to take a shower if a person is really all perspired. He wants to take a shower on Yontif, on Shabbos, turning on the hot water is an issue of malocha bishul. So you have to figure out what the system is in your building. Is it mutter to turn on hot water or not? But on Yontif, when Bishul would be mutter, if it's the Tzorach HaYom Tzah, so the Tzorach HaGuf, so the only problem is the Gzeres HaBalonim. So if you only turn on the hot water to take out the chill, so then the Mishnah Berurah says that would be permissible. We have a Mishnah in Maseches Beitza that's quoted number 8 in the Mar Mekaymes from the Shulchan Aruch, that if a person wants to cook food on Yontif, so Havare, to make a fire is mutter, but we only permit it if there already is a fire. Let's say you have a pilot light and you turn on the gas range, so the pilot light will light this flame. What if I'm going to strike a match? So that's forbidden. What's the nature of this prohibition? The Mishnah Berurah there, number 9 of the Mar Mekaymes, quotes, Laholit Eish Mechadosh, to strike a match. Is that an Issa Deraisa or an Issa Derabbanon? So he writes on the last two lines in number 9, Ulinya Nika Hu Isur, to strike a match, Imhu Deraisa Derabbanon. The Taz, in his commentary on Shulchan Aruch, thinks that it's an Issa Deraisa, And all of the Paskim disagree with the Taz. He says, you look in the Bartanur, Medivre Rabbeinu Avadya Bartanur, Mashmash Shuhud Rabbanon. That's what it's usually assumed. We assume that that to strike a match on Yom Tov is only an Issa de Rabbanon. Let's say I'll ask a non-Jew, I forgot to leave the light on, I forgot to leave the fire on Yom Tov, I forgot to leave a fire burning in the house on Yom Tov. The Balabasta wants the bench lit, so he's not allowed to strike a match on Yom Tov. So would it be permissible to ask a non-Jew to strike a match for you? So we assume that striking a match is only in Issa d'Rabbanan. On the level of the rice, it's the exact same halacha, whether you strike a match or you have a fire and you put in a piece of paper causing anything to burn. Is it the same halacha d'Rice? Torah wasn't giving people the Nochrim thing. Torah was given in the Stone Age, and the only time it's prohibited to make a fire on Shabbos is you have to rub stones together. Torah was not given in the Stone Age. And the prohibition of Havor on Shabbos applies equally whether you strike a match or you throw some fuel into the flame. That's already burning. It's the exact same malacha on the level of the rice. So the Taz is not really accepted. The Taz says that striking a match on Yom Tov is an Issa d'Oraisa. It's not so. It's the exact same Issa whether you strike a match or you put a fuel into the match. That's a chumra midrabbanan. To ask a nochri to strike a match on Yom Tov would be a shvus de shvus. So shvus de ask a nochri to do something you're not allowed to do is only awesome midrabbanan. To ask a nochri to do something which I myself am only not permitted to do midrabbanan, that's a double midrabbanan, lower level iser. So we paskin that a shvus de shvus is muta b'mokam mitzvah. So if the balabasta wants a bench lich, you want to have warm food on Yom Tov, and you forgot to leave the fire on, so we paskin it would be permissible to ask the nochri to strike a match and to light the fire for you. That's a shvuz de shvuz b'makam mitzvah. Then the Mishnah Berurah tells you the last line in number 9. He tells you to look in the Ksav Sefer, who has a bit of a discussion on this topic. The Ksav Sefer was the son of the Chasam Sefer. The bit of the discussion he has is the following issue: what is the heter and what is the when is the mut and when is the aser? To strike a match is aser, but if you have a flame and you put some fuel into the flame, that's muta. What if you have black coals that are burning hot? If you have coals that are flaring red, the orange are red, or there's a flame, so I can put a match in. I'm not the yesh is there, I'm just causing it. The flame should catch from the coals onto the match. What if I have coals that are black, but they're hot enough that if I put my hand on, I'll burn my fingers? So I'll take a match and I'll put the match. I won't strike the match. I'll just put the match on top of the black coal, and the match will flare up. Is that a violation midirabbanan of moiler esh mechadosh? But he say no. That's not moiler esh mechadosh. You didn't have to strike the match. The coals are hot enough that the tip of the match will flare up. So the Ksav Sefer says he remembers when he was a child that gedolim used to allow that. So that's the question regarding turning on electric lights on Yom Tov. To turn on a light on Shabbos, we assume, is Havara. Because the Rambam quotes from the Tosefta that if you heat up metal till it glows, that's a malacha of Havara. So not these kind of lights, fluorescent lights, the gas is burning. But if you have an incandescent bulb that has a filament, a metal filament inside, so you heat the filament till it glows, so that's considered Havara, that's considered Eish Min HaTor. That's Rab Chaim Moshe Paskin like that. That's the accepted opinion today. So the Shaila was, on Yom Tov, if you turn on the light, is that Moiled Eish Mechadosh because there is no light here? Or maybe that's considered, since you're just hooking up with the electrical current, you're just completing the circuit, so Memele, this Eish comes into existence, maybe it should be compared to putting the tip of the match onto the black coals. Maybe that should be mutter. So years ago, the Aruch HaShulchan wrote a tshuva that was published that he thinks that it's mutter. Years ago, Rav Soloveitchik in his earlier years used to turn on lights on Yom Tov. He would turn on lights whenever he needed a room, and then the whole house was all lit up because he's not allowed to turn off the lights. So every room he would need a safe and need something, he would turn on a light. Then years later, he changed his position on that, and that's the generally accepted position, that it's not permissible to turn on lights on Yom Tov, that we consider that Moiled Eish Mechadosh. We don't allow that either, to take the match and to put the tip of the match to the black coals. If the coals are orange, or if there's a flame there, okay, so that's not Moiled Eish Mechadosh. But if the coals are black, and there is no, it's just a lot of heat, and the tip of the match will flare up. So we are machmer on that. We consider that more than Eish Mechadosh. to do Havara for the purpose of Oichal Nefesh is permissible. What about to do Kibui for the purpose of Oichal Nefesh? How can you have Kibui for the purpose of Oichal Nefesh? Oh, so let's say if you have a kettle of water, let's say you have the fire on, the burner is on very high. So if you put a kettle of water on and it's very high, so the water will cook in 2 minutes instead of 5 minutes. If you put soup on and the fire is too high, it's not going to cook faster, it'll burn. If you put chicken on or something else and the fire is too high, then it's going to burn. It's not that it'll cook faster. So would it be permissible to lower the flame? Lowering the flame, you assume, Alpipash, this is also kibui. So would it be permissible to lower the flame for the purpose of Oichal Nefesh? That's a discussion in the Shulchan Aruch, and the generally accepted opinion is Halacha Lamaisa. Where is this? In number 13. One is not permitted to do kibui, even for the purpose of the kedera, even because he's afraid that the food is going to cook. Then the Ramah says, V'yesh omrim, if there's no other way to save the food in the pot without doing the kibui, so then we would permit kibui for the purpose of Oichal Nefesh. So Halacha Lamaisa, that's what we pass. And the Shaila is like this. To do Havora for the purpose of Oichal Nefesh for sure is mutter. To do kibui for Oichal Nefesh was a machlok is the Mechaber and the Ramah, and Ashkenazim followed the Ramah that it's permissible. So maybe, let's say I have like this. I have a fire that's very high, and I have an option. Either I'll put the soup on that burner, and I'll have to turn the burner lower. So I'll be in violation of kibui. Or, and that's a machlekes, but the Ashkenazim amekel that kibui is mutter the Torah Oichal Nefesh. Or, I can turn on another burner, I can do Havara, and I'll turn it on low. So I'll do Havara for the purpose of Oichal Nefesh, which is mutter l'chol hadeis. So maybe I should insist on leaving on this burner that's very high. It's going to be a hot kitchen. Maybe I should insist I have to leave on the burner that's very high, and rather than do kibui for the purpose of Oichal Nefesh, which is disputed, and we are mekel, Ashkenazim are mekel, maybe I should insist that you have to do the Havara on the other one. So the Mishnah Brura says that if you have a choice of either doing Havara or kibui, so we should choose to do Havara l'tocha Oichal Nefesh, why get involved in the machlek? So Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva where he quotes the Mishnah Brura and he disagrees. He thinks, look, bottom line, we pass mutter is mutter. What does he have to make? Two fires in the kitchen. It's enough with one fire. There is a Tosfos in Maseches Beitza. In the Maamar Mekaymus, it's number 10. There is a Tosfos quotes the Yerushalmi in Perek Mishilin. That's one of the fourth Perek in Beitza. Yerushalmi quotes a Machlekes Hatanoim where there are 49 Melachos on Shabbos, 39 Melachos on Shabbos. So the Chumash singles out several of the Melachos. We don't understand why did the Chumash single out some, and most of the Melachos don't appear in the Chumash. So one of the Melachos that appears is Havara. Lo Sivarech B'chol Mashvisech Miyam Shabbos. So the Tanaim have a whole Machlekes. Why was Havara singled out? Then you have a Charish Abakotzer Tishbos. The question: why was Charish and Ktzira singled out? So Havara is a famous machlokes. So one Tana is of the opinion Havara lelav yotzos, that Havara is different from the other 38 malachas. It's a lower level, and you have several leniencies. There's no chorus, and there's no misa, and we don't accept that opinion. So Tosfos quotes from the Talmud Yerushalmi that there is a machlokes hatanoim. What's the din to light a ner shalav tola? There's a flame burning already, and I'm going to light a candle from that. I don't plan to use the candle at all. Stop. So what's he lighting for? The covered beyond. Okay, so I don't know. Let's say in front of the Amud, the Chazan. So the lights are all on in the shul. You don't need any more lights. The covered beyond, you have a candle burning there. Some shuls, they like to have a candle in front of the Chazan. So is it permissible to light a candle on Yontif? Shall absolutely shalot the tzarech klal. So we don't permit a malacha shalot the tzarech klal. So the Yerushalmi says, well, if the din would have been like the Tana who thinks that Havara Lelav Yotzos, that it's not the same as the other 38 malachas, and then it doesn't carry over from Shabbos to Yontif, it's not really a malacha, it's only also on Shabbos, and Mutar on Yontif, then a Ner Shalav Tola, to light a candle that's not going to be used for any purpose whatsoever, would have been Mutar. But we don't accept that opinion in Hilchas Shabbos. We don't paskin that Havara is singled out Lelav Yotzos. We paskin Havara Lechalak Yotzos. Havara is just as Chamor is all of the other 38 malachas. So therefore, there's no heter, there's no kula to light a ner shalav tola. That's what Tosfos quotes from the Talmud Yerushalmi. This is an issue, the Mishnah Brura quotes this discussion in number 12 of the Maamar Mekaymus. What if a person has yahrzeit on Yontif? The minig is you light a yahrzeit lamp. So So no one gets any benefit out of that lamp. People are lighting it out of Kibbud Ava. Some have a practice, the kids of Shulchan Aruch has a discussion, some have a practice that on the day on Yontif, on which one recites a Yisker, so you light a Yortzeit lamp. What is Dach Yontif? So are you permitted to light a Yortzeit lamp? The whole room is all lit up. You don't need this flame. It's not really for the purpose of illumination. So is it permissible to light a Ner Shalav Tov? So based on what Tosis quoted from the Talmud, Yerushalmi should be Aser. A Ner Shalav Tov is only Muta according to the opinion of the Tana whose Shita was not accepted, that Havara Lalav Yotzes. We don't paskin like that, so it should be Aser. So the Mishnah Berurah quotes, well, the Rambam paskins that it's Muta. The Rambam paskins Ner Shalav Tov is Muta on Yontif. So the Mishnah Berurah says he doesn't think we should rely on the Rambam. It's a very difficult Rambam. It's against the Talmud Yerushalmi. Yerushalmi says that it's only Muta if the Din would have been... If the din would have been that Havara Lelav Yotzes, we don't accept that opinion. So he said, then the Mishnah Berurah quotes, this is when the Kitz of Shulchan Aruch has this discussion. Maybe since the person is lighting this Yortzeit lamp out of Kibbud Av, so maybe that itself is considered a Tzarach HaYom Tzaz. Maybe that's a Tzarach Mitzvah. What's that Tzarach Mitzvah? My father needs the Yortzeit lamp. Kibbud Av is when you do something meaningful. A child gives service to the parent while they're alive. A child says Kaddish, that's a Kibbud Av. You light a Yortzeit lamp, is that really such a Kibbud Av? So that's a shvache kula. That's the discussion that the Mishnah Berurah has in number 12. What's the story with the Ner Shalav Tov? Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva where he discusses many have the practice that you don't turn off the flame in the kitchen on Yontif, but you're allowed to lower the flame even if you're not concerned that the food is going to burn. So Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva where he says he doesn't think that that's correct. If you're allowed to turn, he says there's a question: is it forbidden to turn off the fire on Yontif? Maybe it's permissible. So he says, if it's permissible to turn it lower, then it's permissible to turn it off in Gansen. If you hold that you're not allowed to turn it off legamre, that you're not allowed to turn it lower either, unless it's letzarech ha'chal nefesh, unless you're afraid the food is going to cook. And what about that ikin nekuda? Is it permissible to turn the flame off on Yontif? So he says he'd rather not write about that. That's what he writes, and he said he'd rather not write. So all the people on the east side, they all know. The Rav Moshe said that it was permissible. What happened was Rabbi Pendler printed at Vater when he was a student here in the yeshiva a long time ago, and he convinced his father-in-law that it's mutter to turn off the flame on Yontif, that there's no malach. And that's what he writes in the end of his Dvar Torah that was printed in the Beis Yitzchak. They just reprinted it, I think, 2-3 years ago, the Beis Yitzchak. So he prints, and one of the Gedolei Hador was masking with him on this issue, that it's permissible to turn off the flame. So all the people on the east side, they all know that Rav Moshe was of the opinion that it's permissible to turn off the flame legamri. But that's very questionable. Rav Moshe himself says there's what's the debate. Most, I think, do not accept Rav Moshe's heter. Rav Moshe Tendler's heter with Rav Moshe Feinstein's heter. Most do not accept it. So Rav Moshe writes, if you hold that you're not allowed to turn off the fire, then you're not allowed to turn it lower either, unless it's really letzorech bishalakter, unless you're afraid that the food is going to burn. That apparently was the practice here in Broyers for many years, that Rabbi Breuer many, many years ago said you're not allowed to turn off the fire, but you're permitted to turn it lower, even if you don't need it for the purpose of the food not cooking. So Rabbi Friedl, when he first came to America, used to give a shiur for the young married men. Rabbi Friedl was the Rosh Yeshiva in the Broyers for quite a while, a very beloved, big Talmud Chacham. So he says he used to give a shiur on Shabbos afternoon for the young married people, and he started somehow, the group was learning Beitzos, so he started middle of Beitzos, he started from this Daf Chav Beis. So that's what he said in the middle of his shir on one of the Shabbos, and he said that we assume you're not allowed to turn off the flame, so you're only permitted to turn it lower if you're afraid the food is going to burn. But to turn it lower unnecessarily, he doesn't think it's permissible based on the Tosfos. So he said, Matzoi Shabbos, he got a phone call from Rabbi Breuer, could you please come, I'd like to speak to you. So he came to him, and he says, I'm the Mara Da'asha here, and I paskin that it's mutter, you have no right to say it's also. He says, I didn't say anything, I'm just learning the Gemara, just said, I said, I'm the Mara Da'asa, the din is that is mutter. So Rabbi Friedler argued and he presented what the case was. So he said, you have a good question, I'll think about it. So he said, he called him back up a week later, he said, he looked into it, there's a good tataina, and he still paskins that it's mutter, based on a or something. So Rabbi Friedler was telling me how lucky I am that here it's a free university. You're allowed to say whatever you want. The Rosh Yeshiva doesn't call you in on the carpet. You're allowed to pass him whatever you want here. One is not permitted to do a malach on the first yontif for the second yontif. One is not allowed to set up, even to do a hachonah, that's not a malach, you're not allowed to set up. The shot is, what if the balabasta has all of her food in the freezer? And she's going to take out, she's going to take out the food for the second seder, the second yontif, she's going to take it out at night, so it won't be enough time to thaw out. So she wants to take it out late in the afternoon on the first yontif, wants to take it out from the freezer to prepare for the second yontif. So that's a problem of hachonah. So more correct is she should really take it out from the freezer before Yontav begins, before the first of Yontav begins. And that's also an act of hachon. What if she forgot? What if the balabasta forgot to take out the food from the freezer? So then the Mishnah Berurah quotes from the Chaye Yodam, in number 17, there is a discussion in number 15, we'll have to say al regal achas briefly. There is a discussion in the Gemara of Hoyel. For the Heter Eichel Nefesh to apply, do you have to really have in mind, I'm cooking the food because I plan to eat the food today? What if I cook the food, I really plan to eat this food, I'm cooking food for a bar mitzvah. On Yontav, I'm cooking food for a bar mitzvah. Sheva Brachos is going to take place next month. I'm going to cook the food on Yontav and I'm going to put it away in the freezer. But theoretically, you could have eaten all the food on Yontav. There are enough religious Jews in the neighborhood that if I invite everybody over to my home on Yontav, they'd be able to consume all the food. But that's not what I have in mind. So do you say that the Heter Eichel Nefesh sets itself up automatically? Hoyel de mikla le'yachem chazele. If all the Jews would come eat up all the food, it would have been Eichel Nefesh. It's mutar. They say, no, you have to have that in mind. So that's a machloikis. And we paskin minatari, you do say hoyel. In Atar, I say that it sets itself up to Eichel Nefesh, even though that's not what you had in mind, but the Rabbanan, you're not allowed to rely on that. So here the Chayyarim says like this, if the Balabasta realizes early on the first day Yontav that she forgot to take the food out of the freezer, and if she's going to wait till nighttime, she's going to take it out of the freezer then, simply will not thaw out, it won't be ready for the meal, so let her take it out earlier rather than later. If she takes it out, the earlier she takes it out on the first day Yontav, so theoretically it could thaw out on the first day, she could cook it on the first day and invite people and the people will eat everything up on the first day Yontav. She doesn't plan to invite anybody. But since Min HaTorah, there is a principle of Hoyel that the Eichel Nefesh sets itself up automatically, so the Chayyadim says whenever a person forgot to make the preparations in advance of the first day Yontav, he has to prepare the first day for the second day without a Malacha in this case, so he says let them do it as early as possible. So at least they should have the heter of hoyel in that situation. Second day Yontav, we observe all the same dinim as the first day. The Gemara has two distinctions. One difference no longer applies bisman hazeh. The one difference is that if chalila, someone dies on the second day, so the Jews are permitted to do malacha on the second day Yontav. Yontav sheni legabi meis kechol shavio rabbani, treated like a regular weekday, you're permitted to do all malacha. So Rav Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva where he writes, he doesn't think that this heter applies bisman hazeh. The heter is not so much, Rav Moshe claims, the heter is not so much for the sake of fulfilling the mitzvah of Kfuras Ameis Kovetik Barena Bayamahu. There is a mitzvah to bury the people on the same day whenever possible. To bury the people on the same day that they died. He doesn't think that the reason why the Chachamim gave this heter to bury the Mason by Yidei Yisrael on the second Yontav is for the sake of fulfilling the mitzvah of Kvura, but rather because of the Bizayan Ameis, the body is going to decompose and it's going to smell awful. He says, today they have freezers, so you get the guy to put the body in the freezer. You should postpone the funeral till after Yontav. He says he doesn't think that that it's right. Then he's afraid everyone's going to stone him, they're going to break his windows. So he starts fudging a little bit. He says, maybe it is muta, maybe it's not muta. Bottom line, he holds that it's awesome. And he just repeats it in the end of the tshuva. He really holds that it's us. He says the din in the Gemara simply doesn't apply bisman hazeh. The other din in the Gemara does apply likol esayin. Although one is not permitted to take pills, medications, or anything on Shabbos or on Yontav, so the Gemara says on Yontav sheni we do permit refuah, even if the person is not a chola. She'ein bo sakon. Even just a bari with a mechesh be'alma, we permit taking all medications on Yontav sheni shel golius. Except for the second day of Rosh Hashanah, but we don't tell. The second day of Rosh Hashanah, Medina de Gemara, Kfuras HaMeis is Mutar. Bisman HaZera Moshe says we don't allow on any Yontav Sheni. But as far as medication, so that the Gemara makes a distinction. The second day of Rosh Hashanah, we don't permit it. And the second Yontav Sheni Shel Golias, we do allow it. The last of the Marmitaimus comes up halacha lemaisa more often than one would think, regarding a bris. The bris, when you perform a bris on a little baby, that's considered a malacha. So if it's mila bismana, if the baby was born 8 days ago, baby was born on Shabbos, so the mila is deicha Shabbos. Baby was born 8 days ago, so mila is deicha yontif. What about yontif sheni? Is mila shaloi bismana deicha yontif sheni or not? So that's a machlokes harishonim. That's a machlekes harishonim and a machlekes hachreinim halacha lemaisa. The shach says in Yeridei that it's mutter. We don't follow that position. We usually don't permit a bris even on the second day yomtiv if we know for sure that it's a milu shaloi bezman if it was postponed. But the shail is, it comes up more often than one would think. What if it's a suffik milu bezman? The baby was born bein hashmashes, so we can't perform the bris on the first day yomtiv because it was born. We're not sure. Maybe toch shmaino would be permitted on Yontif Shena Shel Golias. So most of the poskim say that yes. The accepted opinion is that yes. That's the last of the Marmekonis. The Nadi Behuda writes that if it's a Sofik Mila Bizman on Yontif Shena, we would permit it. The Shad is, what if it's a Sofik Mila Bizman on Yontif Shena Shel Rosh Hashanah? So that's a big machlokes achrayim. Would you be makel on the second day of Rosh Hashanah? Okay, I have to apologize. I have to run to give a shino. Good to Yontif, everybody.